Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Confess Him in your mouth. Believe Him in your heart. Do you know Jesus? You can know Jesus in your heart.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
Happy.
Good evening. Yes, yes, yes. That's what we need. Love, peace, and happiness. Good evening and praise the Lord. I am Pastor Kimberly Black. I am your host for tonight. Welcome to the Light of Portland broadcast. It is an honor, it is a privilege, and it is my pleasure to be able to worship with you on tonight. I don't know about you, but every time I hear that song, it puts dancing in my feet and clapping in my hands, because what the world needs now is love, peace, and happiness. Such a wonderful song to start the night off tonight. I hope that you have been blessed and have been enjoying your day and have been in the presence of the Lord all day, because truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we have been rejoicing. I know I've been rejoicing, and I'm sure enough glad in it. We honor the presence of the Lord tonight, and we honor each of you for coming to worship with us, for calling in wherever you are, at home, on your job, in the car, on the bus, on your way to the store, on your way home from the store, wherever you are, in the living room, the dining room, the kitchen, the bedroom. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for allowing us to turn your place of worship into our place of worship, because the Bible says where two or three gather together in his name, he says, I will be in the midst. And so we are with you tonight. We are not worshiping alone. We got you and me, brother. Yes, I got you and me, sister. We are here tonight for a hallelujah good time. I want to honor the people that make this platform possible and share this platform with us. Blog Talk is a radio station that is shared with the Light of the World Ministries. The Butterfields are on here on Saturday night. There's a Brother Norman on here on Friday nights, and Light of the World Bible Study is on Wednesdays. And so just call in sometime and enjoy the word of the Lord. And so we honor the Butterfields tonight. We thank God for what God has blessed them with and what God is blessing them with to do. We know that there is a great work for them in that city of Atlanta, Georgia, and we pray that they would continue to do that great work for the Lord. And we want to honor our own Elder Dante Farmer and Elder Kathy Miniweather and Pastor Sherelle Pennington and Pastor Trish McClendon. We just want to honor the men and women of God that are right here with us in the city of Portland, doing a great work, advancing the kingdom of God, letting the world know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so we're so grateful to the men and women of God that serve with us as we lead the people of God into higher heights and deeper depths in knowing the true and living Savior. So we are just truly blessed tonight. We are just excited about what God has in store for us. We don't have any announcements. Just want to remind you that we are still praying for the city of Portland. We're not only praying for Portland, but we're praying for all over the world. I know that there's crime going up all over the world. There's famine in the land. I just was seeing on the news on Thursday that we're getting ready for a drought, and the Pacific Northwest is a part of the area that's going to experience a drought. And so we have so much to be praying for. We have so much to be thanking God for. We want to pray that the violence in our cities will cease, that the racism in our nation will cease, that the coronavirus, the spread of it, will be eradicated. And so we've got so much to pray for. There's the houseless. There are those that are struggling with mental health issues. We know that this month is mental health awareness time. So I encourage people to seek help, because every good counselor needs a good counselor. Amen. And so you might be somebody's counselor, but you need to see somebody too, because sometimes some of the stuff that we carry that don't belong to us, they get heavy and we don't know how to take it off. And so every now and then you need to sit down and talk to somebody that can help you work through some of those situations. But we are blessed tonight, and we're going to have a song of worship, a song of praise. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer and get ready to look at the word tonight. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to be singing happy birthday to the church and talking about Pentecost Sunday and the importance that it should have in our lives. So after this selection, we will be led to the throne of grace by our own sister, Kamisha Black Jointer. Following that, we will hear a song of preparation, and it will be word time. I'll be back to bring us our word for this evening.
Hallelujah. 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 You get the glory. Hallelujah. You get the praise. Hallelujah. You get the glory. Hallelujah. You get the praise. Hallelujah. Forever you get the glory. Hallelujah. God, you get it.
You get the
praise. Hallelujah. You get the glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You get the praise. When the healing comes.
Hallelujah.
You get the glory. When the freedom comes.
Hallelujah.
You get the praise.
Hey.
When the justice comes.
Hallelujah.
You get the glory.
Get the glory.
Hallelujah. You get the
praise.
Nobody else for you.
Hallelujah.
Nobody else for you. Nobody else for you.
Hallelujah.
Nobody else for you. Cause when the peace comes,
hallelujah,
you get the glory. When the love comes,
hallelujah,
you get the praise.
See,
hallelujah.
You get the glory.
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 Out of my life.
You get the
glory. Out of my life. Out of my life. In every situation. Every miracle. Every time.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God. You get the glory today, oh God. You get the honor in our lives, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We come tonight, oh God, to give you glory and honor, oh God. We come tonight to give you praise, oh God, to reverence you, oh God, to bow down before you and lift up our hands, oh God, and bow down in worship that you have allowed us to see, oh God, that you ordered our steps, oh God, and allowed it to be so that we come together again tonight at 8 o'clock, oh God, to praise and worship you, oh God, to bless your holy name, oh God, to receive a rhema word from you, oh God, for our lives, oh God. So we give you glory, oh God. We give you honor, oh God. We bless you, oh God. We lift up our hands, oh God, with an expectation, oh God. We come available for you, oh God, to use us, oh God, to clean us up, oh God, and make us whole again, oh God. We bless you, oh God. We give you glory and honor, oh God. We come now, oh God, touching in agreeing, oh God, in prayer, oh God, that you get the glory, oh God, and you get the praise, oh God. We lift up this ministry to you now, God, and everybody that's on the call, oh God, we bless you for them now, oh God. We ask you to continue to keep your hedge of protection around them, oh God, to continue to cover them in your blood, oh God, to continue to heal them, oh God, continue to make a way out of no way, oh God, continue
continue to perform miracles seen and unseen, oh God. We bless you now, oh God. We adore you, God. We magnify you, oh God. We pray now for the mother ministries that are represented in all of the churches that are on the call, oh God. We pray for all of the youth ministries now, God. We pray for all the deacons and deaconesses now, God. We pray for the elders of the church now, God. We pray for the leaders now, God. We pray for our pastors and our shepherds, oh God, that lead us, oh God, that pray for us, oh God, that stand in the gap for us, oh God. We pray for them now, oh God. Touch them from the crown of the head to the sole of their feet, oh God. Provide for them, oh God. Continue to speak to them, oh God. Continue to keep your hand on them, oh God. Continue to give them visions, oh God, and so that they can make it plain, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you for our leaders, oh God. We thank you for the people that you put over our souls, oh God. We thank you for them, oh God. We bless you for them now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Thank you, Lord, for them, oh God. Thank you for their direction, oh God. Thank you for their leadership, oh God. Thank you for their heart that they have for your people, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for our leaders, oh God, for our pastors, and for us and you, oh God. Now, God, we just ask that you continue to touch and have your way in the world, oh God. Continue to pray. We pray now for the president and the vice president of the United States as they continue to lead the United States, oh God. We pray for the governments now, oh God. Speak now, oh God, to our government officials now, God, in the name of Jesus. The governments, oh God, the mayors, the senators, oh God, our decision makers, speak now, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We put it all in your hands, oh God, because we know that when we come together, when one or two come together in prayer, oh God, and we seek and we knock, and we will find that you will be there in the midst of it all, oh God. So we know that if we pray and let it be in your will, oh God, it shall be done, oh God. So we thank you now, God, for the work that you're doing, oh God. We thank you now, God, for the blessings that you're opening up the window and pouring out for our lives. We thank you now, God, for the miracles that you're going to perform for us that we can't even imagine, oh God. We thank you now, God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh God, how we love you, oh God. How we magnify you, oh God. How we adore you, oh God. We love you, oh God. We love you, oh God. Thank you for being the savior of our lives, oh God, and the center of our joy, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for being peace in the middle of the storm, oh God. Thank you for your joy and your love and your compassion, oh God. Thank you for your forgiveness, oh God. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning, oh God. Oh, how we thank you. We can't thank you enough, oh God. If we had 10,000 tongues, oh God, it wouldn't be enough to give you glory and honor, oh God. We owe you another praise, oh God. So now, right now, in the name of Jesus, we praise you, oh God. We magnify you, oh God. We bless you, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, oh Lord. Thank you, oh God. Thank you for this time of praise and worship and gathering together, oh God. We pray now for the word that's going to come forth, oh God. Let the seed be planted on good ground, oh God, ground that has already been plowed, oh God, so that the seed can be laid, oh God, and that you do the rest, oh God. You provide the water, oh God. You give the sunlight to that seed, oh God, and plant it in our bellies, oh God, so that it can sprout up, oh God, and be victorious, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let the word that comes forth touch our hearts, oh God. Let us receive it, oh God, and be doers of the word, oh God, not just hearers of the word, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we pray, oh God. We thank you, God, for hearing this prayer, oh God. We thank you, God, for taking the time out and hearing our cries, oh God. We thank you now, God, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you have for us, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Oh, we thank you, oh God. We praise you, oh God. We magnify you, oh God. Thank you, God, for you are a great God. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we reverence you in our lives, oh God. How we praise and worship you, oh God. You get the glory, oh God. You get the honor, oh God. You get the glory, oh God. You get the honor, oh God. Let our lives be satisfactory. ministry to you, oh God. Let our praise and worship be beautiful sounds to your ears, oh God. Let our prayer go forth to your ears, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, and we will bless you forever and ever, oh God. We will give you praise and glory and honor forever and ever, oh God. We just love you, oh God, for who you are and the things that you've done for us, oh God. No rocks will cry out for us because we believe that praise is what we were created to do, oh God. So we will praise and worship you forever and ever, oh God. How we thank you, oh God. We love you, oh God. We lift you up, oh God. We magnify you, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for this time of prayer, oh God. Thank you for this time of worship together, oh God. Thank you for these airways that allow us to come together with Atlanta and Chicago and Seattle and Oregon, oh God. Touch now each and every city that's represented on this call now, God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, touch these young people that are killing and destroying families, oh God. Touch them now. Speak to them in a way that only you can now, God. In the name of Jesus, babies are killing babies. A three-year-old shot a two-year-old by accident because the parents had the weapon out, oh God. Touch these children, oh God. Touch these parents, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Touch these grieving families from these ignorant choices these young children are making without even realizing what they're doing. Speak now, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Move now in these cities, oh God. Move now. Show your face now, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
May we have your attention because
let me tell you about a man who knows all of my flaws but still loves me. Let me introduce you to this man who won't ever bring your past up again.
If you're not too busy,
do you have a minute to listen about the one who can replace all that's
I can't really put it in the words, but that's
just something about me.
I don't know everything, but I know this.
I know that I cannot live without him.
We want to tell you about him. He's our healer.
He's my healer.
Jehovah Rapha.
My savior.
My way maker.
My way maker.
My joy.
My joy.
My joy.
My provider.
Strong tower.
My strong tower.
But most importantly,
and he gave his life for
his
me.
Name.
His name is Jesus.
Jesus.
So
Jesus.
Sweet.
Sweet Jesus.
Sweet
I've
Jesus.
Met a lot of great people, but I realize
there's nobody like Jesus.
Nobody like Jesus. Because when I'm sick, he's my healer.
He's my healer.
Drowning in my sins.
My savior.
Way
maker.
But he provided for me. But most
and he
importantly,
gave his life.
He gave his life for me.
There's only one name.
His name is Jesus.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Jesus.
There's nobody.
There's nobody like Jesus.
There's nobody.
Nobody, Lisa.
Sweet.
I've met a lot of great people, but I realize there's nobody like Jesus.
There's nobody like
come on, Lisa.
Jesus.
That I can't see the past, I found out that I can
my God, am I? He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel, a way out of no way, a rock in a weary land. Every time I need him, he showed up.
Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus, for being so good, so kind, so wonderful. God, we thank you for being our healer, our way maker, our provider, our strong tower. Oh, God, we thank you tonight. Sweet Jesus, we thank you tonight, Lord God. There's nobody like you, Lord God, and we honor you tonight, oh, God. We lift you up. We give you glory. We give you honor, oh, God, and we bless your name. Now, Father, as we come before you, O God, to proclaim your word, O God, we ask, O Lord, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to speak through us, O God, to speak to us, O God, to stir up our hearts and our minds, O God, that we would receive this word on tonight, O God, and be made the better, to be made wiser, be made stronger, O God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we love you, we appreciate you, and we adore you, O God, for this time of spending with each other in your word. Now, God, we ask that you would bless the hearers of your word. God, give dunamis power to the doers of your word. Lord, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. And the people of God said amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands if you know there's nobody like Jesus on tonight. Yes, there's nobody like Jesus on tonight. That song stirred up my spirit, our spirits this morning, and I had to hear it again tonight. Amen. Just to let you be reminded that there's nobody like Jesus. Amen. Let's look tonight to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. This records the story of the first church, and this is the church that we should be striving to be. We're not going to read a particular verse tonight because my message begins in verse 1 and it ends in verse 21. So when you get a chance tonight before you go to sleep, read Acts chapter 2, but I'm just going to take us quickly through what God is saying to us in this 21st century as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. We know that Pentecost Sunday comes 50 days after Easter. And next year, when we get ready to celebrate it, I hope we have a new attitude about Pentecost Sunday. Be ready to wear something red, something purple, something green, because those are colors of royalty. Those are colors that celebrate, amen, Pentecost Sunday. But we want to look at tonight, Pentecost Sunday. It is the celebration of the birth of the church. On the day of Pentecost, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus ascended to heaven and the Holy Ghost descended to bless the disciples. And through the Holy Spirit, the church was born. It is a time when the church traditionally concentrates on the gift of the Holy Spirit and the ways in which it strengthens the church. It is a time to consider how the Spirit has created and sustained faith in our lives. It is a time to explore how the Holy Spirit empowers our witness so that others might find faith. The power of the Holy Spirit ignited the disciples. Peter was ignited and gave one of the most powerful sermons in history. That's right there in Acts chapter 2. It included both the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy in Joel chapter 2 and a strong rebuke to the people that were there listening. This message, this sermon, his preaching, the effects of it were remarkable. The message pierced the hearts of people, men, women, boys, and girls that were standing around listening, and those that were standing afar off listening. It pierced their hearts so much so that it caused over 3,000 people to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, y'all, ain't that a revival? Ain't that a revival where over 3,000 people get baptized and give their lives to the Lord? Somebody shout, we need a revival.
We need a revival.
We need a revival. Yes. When those new converts returned home, they began to spread the message. And this is when the church was born. This would not have been possible without the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is not an impersonal force, but the Holy Spirit is a person. It possesses the mind of God. It possesses the emotions and the will of God. Why does it? Because it is God. It performs the acts of God. It has the attributes of God. As a result of the Holy Spirit, the church opened its heart to fellowship. It opened its hands to care for each and every member. Members opened their homes to each other, especially for worship. They devoted themselves to prayer. As a result of all of this, the church grew and found favor with other people, both inside and outside of the church. Where's the church today? Where's the church today? I know coronavirus got us practicing social distance, and I don't want to call it social distance anymore because it's really being physically distant. Because socially, we're still on the internet. We're still making phone calls. We're still using Instagram. We're still using Snapchat. We're still being social with Facebook. We're physically distancing ourselves 6 feet apart. But where is the church when it comes to taking care of each other and being devoted to prayer? Yeah. We have a hard time having folks call on a line for a prayer meeting, let alone come to a prayer meeting. Who's committed to prayer? Who's dedicated to prayer these days? Where are the prayer warriors? Where are the intercessors? But this is how the church grew. The church grew because those who were on the inside loved and took care of each other. Now get this. Not only did they love and take care of those that were on the inside, but they also loved and took care of those on the outside. So the church grew. The term spirit describes wind or breath. The Pentecost wind is no wind of destruction. It blows where it will and fires up people with faith and spiritual power. The church did not come alive until after God breathed the Holy Spirit upon it. The wind was an outward sign of what was happening within the disciples. The Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind on the first Pentecost, and it still comes like a rushing wind today. We can't control the wind. We cannot control the Holy Spirit, no matter how hard we try. We try to control the Holy Spirit. We try to control it. How do we do that, Pastor Black? Well, I read in the Bible where it says, quench not the Spirit. And how do we try to control the Holy Spirit? Let me help you out here. If the Holy Spirit tells us to say something nice and kind, we do the opposite. If the Holy Spirit tells us to be quiet, we keep talking. If the Holy Spirit tells us to go the extra mile of the way, we get uncomfortable. See, that's what the Holy Spirit, many Christians want enough of the Holy Spirit to be comfortable, to be respected, to feel good about themselves, but not so much that it shakes up their routine and change their way of living. See, we need the Holy Ghost, y'all. We need the Holy Ghost. Help us to act right, walk right, talk right, do right, love right, live right. We need the Holy Ghost tonight. We need it. We need it. We need it. If you're walking without it, say, Holy Ghost, I need you. Yes, yes, yes. Many Christians want the benefits of the Holy Spirit without having to experience much of the Spirit. Y'all know that scripture, to whom much is given, much is required. The Holy Ghost can't live and dwell inside of you and you cussing and fussing and raising hell and not loving your neighbor and not being faithful to prayer, not being faithful to your time of studying the word of God. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in an unclean temple. So we got to clean up what we messed up, so that the Holy Spirit can come in and help us. I told us this morning that we have to live righteously. We have to live right. We have to be just. How are you living today? When the Holy Spirit comes to fill us, we speak, we act in ways that weren't possible before. We live supernaturally because the Spirit of God within us is controlling us. Let me give you an example. Remember I told you earlier that in the first part of Acts, is actually Acts chapter 2, verse 16 through 21. This is where I want to call your attention to for a few moments here. Peter, I told you earlier that he preached a message that was so powerful that folks got saved. They went home and told other people about their conversion, about the Holy Ghost, about Jesus, about the power that they got saved. And 3,000 of them got saved, got baptized, got filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, let me tell you something about Peter before the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that Peter was too scared to admit he knew Jesus. You remember? You remember the story. Jesus told him, he said, Peter, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. That was right when Jesus, right before he got crucified. And after Jesus got crucified, that people saw Peter. They said, hey, he's one. He said, I wasn't with him. I don't know him. There was a little girl. She said, hey, I know him. I've seen him before. He was with Jesus, the one that they crucified. He said, no, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. And so before the Holy Ghost came, Peter was scared to admit he knew Jesus. But, oh, somebody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost filled him, God changed him. Y'all better read Acts chapter 2, 16 through 21. We find that when the Holy Ghost came upon Peter, he began to preach and quote Joel 2, 28 through 33, which was Joel's prophecy of the Holy Ghost at the beginning of the last days. On the first Pentecost, the Spirit came to people in a new, more powerful way that signals the beginning of the new covenant age, which runs from the time of Christ's death until Christ returns in the future. These are the last days, my brothers and sisters. And it's in the last days that the Messiah is coming back. This was foretold to us in the Old Testament. Look how the Word of God has fulfilled itself. In the Old Testament, they prophesied that the Messiah was coming to redeem man, to save man. And then in the New Testament, we find that the Messiah came to us as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And at the age of 12, he was in the temple baffling the minds of the religious leaders. He lived and he began to do the work of his father at the age of 30, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, pulling fish off fish and bread off bread, turning water into wine. Jesus did miracles, signs, and wonders for 3 years at the age of 33. They didn't take his life, saints. He gave his life. Why? Because before the foundation of the world, the plan was made that God would give his son to die on the cross to redeem man from his sin. Yeah, Adam, the first man, he sinned. And he brought shame upon the face of the earth. And then here comes Jesus. One man brought sin, one man redeemed sin. Jesus was crucified on the cross, buried. And on the third day, he got up with all power in his hand. And not only did he get up, saints of God, he went down into the pits of hell to take the sting from death and the victory from the grave. He took the keys from Satan. We have no reason to fear death and the grave if you feel with the Holy Ghost, because you know you're going to get up with him. Jesus then ascends up into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And the Holy Spirit comes down. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, we find the marching orders for the church. The coming of the Holy Spirit was an awe-inspiring moment that changed the world. It was a tipping point when history was changed. God's dream was one where all believers would gather together in unity and faith. We have to go with the flow. It asks us to go beyond our comfort zone. God calls us to love one another. That love changes us. It allows us to show grace to everyone. It convinces us that God loves us unconditionally and that we can love others unconditionally. That's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. It gives us the ability to love others deeply. The Holy Spirit releases us so that we can praise each other. Not the praise that we give to God, but just to love on each other. Romans says we are to owe no man nothing but love. So why can't we be kind and nice to each other? I love the way you smell. I love your smile. I love to hear you laugh. That's a nice dress you got on, sister. That's a nice suit you got on, brother. Why can't we love on each other like that? Hey, I just called to say I love you. Hey, I'm writing this note. I'm writing this letter, and I'm going to stick it on the refrigerator. So when you go to the refrigerator, you will see that I had you on my mind, and I took out some time to pray for you. Just wanted you to know that I love you. That's what he's talking about. The Holy Ghost will help us do for each other. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it's in times like these, one can wonder if what happened at Pentecost can happen today. In times like these, one can wonder if we can gain a deeper understanding of the Holy Spirit and experience its transforming strength. We want to deal with our own feelings of spiritual inadequacy. God answers these questions and other people are really asking. And the answer is yes. Yes, in times like these, one can gain a deeper wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Yes, in times like these, the Holy Spirit can cause one to experience the transforming of the mind and the changing of the heart. Yes, the Holy Spirit is still powerful. It is still real today. A life in Christ is God's will for his people. God's plan cannot be stopped. Pentecost is a taste of what will happen in God's kingdom when the Spirit is poured out on all people. The Holy Spirit will live in all believers. The Holy Spirit is more than a tool to help us overcome life challenges. But much more of what we ask to do is far beyond what we are called to do. On our own, we are never enough. The outpouring of the Spirit is far greater than anyone could expect. It will be poured out on all flesh, and everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. When the church allows the Holy Spirit to work, when the believers allow the Holy Spirit to dwell among us and dwell in us, the Spirit will give us the strength we need to do the work that God has called us to do in this corrupt, perverted, cold, mean world. I'm going to tell you, I got a couple of things I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit will do for us, and I'm going to say goodnight. Amen. Number one, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you say you have not sinned, the Bible calls you, yeah, you know what it calls you, Number two, the Holy Spirit, it encourages and comforts us when we are hurting or discouraged. We got a lot of hurt people in the city. We got a lot of hurt people in the world. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, we don't have to suffer. We don't have to be discouraged. The Holy Spirit come to be our comforter. The Holy Spirit has come to help us overcome the pain that we deal with, that we're going to experience. Yeah. Old folks say, you just hold on, you just wait, because if you haven't been through nothing, that means you just got out of it. And if you didn't just get out of it, you know what they say. You're getting ready to go into it. So I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, you need to seek after the Holy Spirit. Seek after the Holy Spirit. Number three, the Holy Spirit, his work that he does in us helps us maintain unity among each other. Yeah, I said Wednesday that we need more unity, not only in the church, but we need unity in our homes, unity on our jobs, unity in the schoolhouse, unity in our communities, unity in the nation. We need unity. And the only way that we're going to be able to accomplish that task of being unified with the same mind and the same spirit is with the Holy Ghost. All right. What was that? One, two, three, number four. The Holy Spirit brings in the midst of life's storm. The Holy Spirit, he pours out power for victorious living. I am more than a conqueror. I got the Holy Ghost fighting for me. I got the Holy Ghost helping me to triumph over all of these trials and tribulations. The Holy Ghost helps us to study and understand the truth of God's word. Oh, don't open your Bible without saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Don't study your Sunday school lesson. Don't study your mission lesson. Don't study to preach a sermon without asking the Holy Spirit to help you with your understanding, to give you wisdom, to give you knowledge. I'm telling you, saints of God, he'll do it every time. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we cannot put our feelings into words. You know what they say, you just gotta moan sometimes. Yeah, the Holy Spirit makes intercession when we don't even know what to pray for, when we don't know how to pray. Have you ever been at a place where all you could say was, mm-hmm. Sometimes you couldn't get the words out, and you had to go on and moan and call on the Lord. And sometimes you had to use your heavenly language. Sometimes you had to use the other gift of the Holy Spirit. You had to speak in unknown tongues. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you need to let the Holy Spirit speak through you that God can really hear. Because sometimes our feelings and our emotions and our will, it gets in the way. The Holy Spirit gives us power to evangelize. You know, God don't have no coward soldiers in his army. And the Holy Ghost gives us boldness. The Holy Ghost helps us to stand up and be accounted for, ready to give an answer. It just amazes me how we've got so many saints, so many believers, so many Christians. When you ask them about God and about their salvation and about their soul, they don't know how to explain it. They're ashamed to talk about it. They don't know what words to say. Well, the Holy Ghost, it will bring all things to your remembrance. The Holy Ghost will give you what to say. You got to know how to tap into it. You got to know how to use it. You got to know how to go get it. My last point is that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, disperses spiritual gifts as he deems best throughout the body of Christ. Now, it's one thing to have the gift to sing. But you can sing when you sing with the Holy Ghost. You can preach, but when you preach with the Holy Ghost, there's conviction, there's power, there's persuasion, there's some deliverance, there's some salvation coming. Lives are being changed and transformed when you preach with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you might be good, and you might look good standing at the door, and you like being a doorkeeper, but when you got the Holy Ghost, people be glad to see you at the door. They don't say, "Oh, that mean old usher. I don't want them to lead me to my seat," because they don't smile. They walk up on you and they ain't nice when they want to take your gum. They just stick the tissue in your face. But when you got the Holy Ghost, you do all things in love, all things that people don't mind you disciplining them, rebuking them, helping them get back in order when you got the Holy Ghost. My brothers and sisters, Pentecost is the day when we remember the birth of the church. The church came alive. It is also the day when we remember the countless ways in which the Holy Spirit shapes the church as an institution and ourselves as individuals. It is also the day when we are remembered that once we have received the Holy Spirit, we are required and enabled to take a stand for good and against evil in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. The Holy Spirit will teach us to love God. The Holy Spirit will teach us to love our neighbors. And he will reward us by giving us life worth living. The Holy Spirit will help us live a life worth living. I didn't say that you were going to be trouble-free. Because Psalms tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. David said, "It was good that I was afflicted, because it was in my affliction I learned how to praise you. I learned how to worship you. I learned how to love you. I learned how to call on your name." If you got the Holy Ghost, saints, you too will be praising God like David, realizing that what you're going through is not to break you or make you bitter, but to make you better, to make you stronger, to make you wiser. The Holy Ghost will give us a life worth living. And I want you to know tonight that a life worth living is also worth dying. Ah, yes, 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 yes. Because when I leave this place, when I leave this place, I'm going to a place where there'll be no more crying, going to a place where there'll be no more dying. All of my heartache will be over. Yes, it will. I'm going to a place where I can praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Saints, we need the Holy Ghost to help us live a life that's pleasing to God. We need the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, I hope and pray tonight that the word has been a blessing to you, that you would seek God for more of the Holy Spirit. You might have been filled once, but your body is just like a car. You don't put gas in your car once and drive around in it for weeks at a time. Mm-mm. Since I've been back to work, I've been to the gas station. I've been back to work 3 weeks. And in a 3-week time, I've been to the gas station 2 times. So if the car needs gas in it on a regular basis, what about you and me? We need to be filled up every day because the enemy are healed every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, and every year. He is on his job. He ain't gonna let us alone. So I want to encourage you to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Every chance you get, you should be drinking from that fountain that fills us up where we would thirst no more. Every day, we should be coming into his presence saying, fill me up. I love you tonight. I love you with the love of the Lord. Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister.
If you provide the fire, and I'll provide. Open up inside, fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God.